This afternoon on the USF Tampa campus, a discussion on global warming and its implications for national security was held. We'll have a full report on tomorrow night's newscast on that event. Speaking at the forum alongside former U.S. Senators Bob Graham, Connie Mack, and John Warner was Dr. Tom Christman, a Patel Professor of Environment at the Patel Center for Global Solutions at USF. He spoke to WMNF today about climate change.
Let's start here in Florida. The biggest problem that we have in Florida is not going to be the temperature change as much as it's going to be a change in potential precipitation. And water, as you well know, is our limiting factor for growth in the state of Florida. So if there's any sort of change in the rainfall regime in Florida, it's going to have a pronounced effect on all aspects of the economy to people's lives in general. The other thing in Florida is that we're quite concerned with migratory bird species, which are actually coming through right now. This is the biggest week for that, or the beginning of it anyway. And those birds are dependent on wetlands and insect emergence coming out of wetlands in order to stock up on energy before they cross the Gulf. If we change the rainfall regime, we're going to change when those insects are coming out and the whole bird populations are going to crash. On a worldwide basis, temperature is in some places much more of a concern. Throughout the Mediterranean, if there's any minor change in rainfall regimes, places like Greece are projected to become extremely dry, if not parts of them becoming desert.
And I think I saw you in your interview with the Tampa Tribune. You mentioned that the Middle East is also in peril in particular. Why is that?
Well, the topic of today's discussion is going to be climate change and national security. And national security is not just a military problem. It's a complete societal problem. If you have ecosystems that have collapsed, and those in turn will cause a destabilization of populations and societies, and in turn that will cause a destabilization in various nations' political regimes. So we're quite concerned about how ultimately the either temperature or water are going to be affecting political stability. I might add that one of the big stumbling blocks in the Middle East peace agreement is to come up with an idea of how is water going to be allocated between the new Palestinian state and Israel. And if there's anything that changes the balance of water, we're in a big trouble. For example, prior to the U.S. invasion of Iraq, Saddam Hussein was contemplating trying to take action against Turkey because Turkey controls all the water of the Tigris-Euphrates. So I think we're getting into water politics as being that this century is going to be what's controlling most of the battles that we're having.
We're speaking with Tom Christman from the University of South Florida in Tampa. Professor Christman, I want to talk to you about consciousness and trying to break through to people in this country in terms of realizing the dangers of global warming. There was an article in the New York Times on Saturday. A woman by the name of Greta Brown has finished walking up and down the eastern seaboard to raise consciousness for global warming. And she said mostly people think it's a problem, but mostly they think it will not impact them anytime soon. How do we break on through that type of attitude?
Economics. Mm-hmm. And I hate to be so blunt, but 30 years ago when I first came to Florida and got heavily involved with the whole issue of acid rain, the sides were polarized. No, it's a problem. Yes, it's a problem. No, we didn't do it. Yes, you did do it. And it was very difficult to reach any kind of resolution on how to address the problem, although we've addressed the problem for the most part. In the case of climate change, it's not just one thing of acid rain destroying things, but it's what's going to happen to your water, what's going to happen to your temperature. In the case of Florida, where we have five or six climate zones within the state, so each one is going to be acting differently, so there's not one model that fits all. And where we're having a problem, I think, is to bring it back to people's pocketbooks. What does it mean in terms of your insurance rates? What does it mean in terms of the agricultural products? What does it mean in terms of water availability? In terms of energy utilization, these are all things that are going to come back and affect people directly and affect them in their pocketbook. And I think this is an issue that's going to be very easily, regardless of the source.
Yeah.
Let's worry about how it's going to affect the everyday person on the street.
To continue on the theme of political resistance in this country, you know, we had a cap and trade bill, as it's called, in the House, legislation on energy that'll go in the Senate in the next month or so. One thing we hear from critics who talk about doing something like a cap and trade system or other ways of how to bring down our carbon emissions in this country, they go, why does it matter what we do in the United States when, for example, China and India are have excess amount of pollution, and they're not, you know, putting these restrictions on their businesses that we are here. How do you answer that?
Well, considering the United States is a huge chunk, yes, China has passed us in terms of total energy utilization because they have so many people. But I think we have to do our part. We have to be a leader. We have to go back to where the United States was in a leadership position and not to following and being an absent source to anything environmental. And I think what we're ended up doing is that if there's going to be climate change, it will be fast. We know from work that we've been doing for years. I started out in life as a climate change person for the past 12,000 years. But we know that when a period of glaciation begins, it's very rapid on its onset. We're talking 200 or 300 years and the whole climate would have changed, or less. So we have to be ready now. If we're seeing this exponential change in temperature, and we've got to be ready for a major change at any time. You know, you don't want to be around some kind of a naysayer, but I think it's a matter of anything that we can do now to stop it and to show leadership. It's time to step up to the plate.